Holly Hammond, you're what would you call you? Are you Chief Librarian of the Commons Activist Library?
I'm the director of the Commons Social Change Library. I do get called a Commons librarian, but I'm not actually a qualified librarian. My colleague Archie plays that role for us at the Commons.
Okay, and it's an online library. So explain to my listeners who may not know, but they probably should, but anyway, tell them about what it's all about.
Yeah, so the Commons Social Change Library is there for people engaged in all kinds of different activist and social change activities to learn more and to get support to do the work that they need to do in the world. It is an online library, so it's different from going to the library with your card to check books out. It's all digital content that's really available for everyone. So anyone can access it who's got an internet connection. And it's in a range of different formats. So we've got, articles, manuals, podcasts, videos, on a whole range of different approaches to social change, like organizing, campaigning, digital campaigning, lobbying and advocacy, direct action, creative activism, the whole world of social change.
So, how do you go about collecting that information?
Sure. So the people involved with the Commons, we've already had our own connections with social change. So we've got networks in that space, and then we also do a lot of research to find out who else is out there and what they're up to. And then depending on what the needs are at different times, we will reach out to people to encourage them to contribute resources on the particular topic, or potentially to write something new. And sometimes we might interview people because it's an easier way for us to kind of get that information without the person going away and having to write it themselves.
What made you think that it was an important thing, resource that had to be gathered together?
Sure. So actually, I consulted a lot of different people involved in social movements about where were they getting their information from and how was that for them. And what I heard repeatedly was that it was taking longer than it should. So people might be searching for things on Google and then it just get overwhelmed by the information that's there, or it's not really very relevant for activists. Like it's hard to find the stuff that's, particular for use in activism, or people were getting access to things because they knew people. So if they knew the right person, they could reach out to them, that person would pass things along. There's so many people getting active all the time who are new to it and they don't have those networks. So we really thought if we have one central place where we gather as much as possible, and then we also think about how to make that user-friendly. So we catalogue it and make sure there's really good search functionality. And it's updated all the time because, there's a lot of websites out there that are kind of ghost ships. They're not maintained. So the Commons is very alive as, a resource that's changing all the time and that we're kind of maintaining. And now we can see it does make a really big difference. People are able to find what they need really quickly. They might use it in training. They might use it when new people are joining their team and they need to get oriented, or when they're taking on a new activist tactic that they haven't done before. They've got the information there, and it just speeds up, people being able to get back to doing the work rather than digging around trying to find information. And we also see that it's a way to spread innovation. So when people have figured out something new, then they can tell other people about it and they can try it out, whether that's, in a different country or on a different social issue.
Well, it's interesting because the point of view of people who are working for social change and a progressive future is not necessarily and probably necessarily not the mainstream. And this is one of the functions that you highlight, isn't it? That you're highlighting aspects of social interaction that's usually overlooked.
Yeah, and often not resourced as well as it should be. If you think about all the money that goes into corporations or into government and all of the work that they do, I think people who are working to make the world better, we're often doing everything that we can on the smell of an oily rag, and there isn't kind of the same access to information and training and all that kind of thing. So we see the Commons Library is having an important role in connecting people with the skills and information they need to make change in the world.
But it also does something else, doesn't it? It creates a community, and it has stories of inspiration, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the things when we are working, we're kind of going against the grain. We're having that struggle of like, we start to wonder, does this make a difference? Are my actions adding up to things? So having stories of how people have struggled and won in the past or lost but learnt lessons, like, it's so important for sustaining action. So yeah, we have a big emphasis on sharing activist history because oftentimes you're not going to hear about that in the mainstream media or it's in school. So we want to make sure people get access to their history through the Commons Library. And yeah, inspiration, definitely. Some of our most popular resources are actually collections of quotes as well, because I think, hearing those short, inspiring messages from different people, that's also a shot in the arm.
Well, it's really difficult to organize information in actual fact. I mean, that's what libraries do. But how did you decide on how you're going to organize it? I mean, it's obviously
Yeah.
not geodecimal system, is it?
No, but definitely my colleague Archie has worked on specialist libraries for many years, and so she had a good idea about, good ways to catalogue. And I think my background is in activist training, and so I had some ideas about, well, people will need to learn in these different areas, and so we started to set those topics up on the Commons and search for the content to fill that out. So, for example, one topic area we have is working in groups. So the skills to be able to work effectively in groups, whether that's like setting up a team or facilitating a meeting, dealing with conflict, like those are such important skills for activists to have. But the fact that, we have our own experience in activism, we've had connection with grassroots groups and small not-for-profits and that kind of thing, that gave us a sense of what was needed, as well as going out there and asking people what they needed.
Yeah, I was going to say you'd be responsive to your audience, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I think one thing to notice is that it does make a difference when someone's curating. So a lot of time activists, we do this sort of crowdsourcing approach to things, and we might have a Google Doc that 20 people are all writing things in, and it can just get a bit messy and confusing. So with the Commons, we're still gathering materials from lots of sources, but because we're organising, I think it makes it easier for people to access it, and it means, those materials won't go out of date or just sort of get lost.
Oh, right. Okay. And do you have a reference to international sources, or are you connected to other kinds of libraries around the world of the same sort?
Yes. Yeah. So the Commons Library, like, our mission is really to support progressives in Australia, but because we're an online library, we immediately had an international audience. So we get a lot of traffic from all around the world. And also, like any good library is pulling in materials from lots of sources. And so we've always had international content as well. And now, with the collections that we host, we have some networks that are set up within the Commons. So, for example, the Democracy Resource Hub, that is focused on challenging authoritarianism and promoting democracy. So that hub is collecting materials that are all around that topic. And we also have a Global Grassroots Support Network, which is about supporting grassroots action around the world, so a very international kind of focus. So those folks are gathering materials all the time, putting them together, and that's a really, a valuable part of the Commons.
I suppose that in some ways, perhaps sometimes people have passion projects.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing we're on the lookout for too is that we know, things ebb and flow. So a project might set up for a while with a mission to do things, and it might produce a bunch of stuff, and then they have to wrap it up. So we also want to keep that in the Commons, so there's a legacy from the work that people do, even if they're not still functioning as a group. So anyone who's listening, if you've been involved in an activist group and you think you have materials that could be useful, even though you're not still, meeting and doing things, there could be a place for the materials in the Commons.
Oh, right, that's very interesting. The other thing is the technical side of this. I mean, you must need vast amounts of storage. How do you do it?
Yeah, we're our hosting is yeah, it is I think our web developers called it a monster of a website because it does just keep growing. We've got so much stuff. Yeah, no, we're well supported to kind of keep the website functioning well. And we really are thankful to our donors who kick in the funds to help the commons stay strong because we're aiming to be around for a really long time. We want this to be a long lasting piece of movement infrastructure that can support social change long term.
And that's one of the reasons why we're talking today, because you're celebrating your fifth birthday and you've got a fundraiser coming up.
Yes, we do. So we're so excited that we've hit this 5 year milestone. We're having our first trivia night, which feels like it's quite a good fit for the Commons Library because we can have, some questions around activism. There'll be a mix of other things like popular culture and current affairs as well, but it kind of fits with our nerdy librarian learning focus. So we're having a trivia night on Tuesday, the 30th of April at Trades Hall. And there's going to be some great prizes. People are pulling their tables together. There's going to be some great folks there. And we'd love to see more.
So it starts at 6 o'clock, and you can buy tickets from just looking up your website, right?
Yes, so if you go to commonslibrary.org, there's a thing on the front page that mentions the fifth birthday and a link to be able to buy the tickets, but they are on Humanitix as well. So if you look on the Humanitix website and search for Commons Library, you'll find the trivia night.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, Annie, and thanks for everyone out there doing great work to make the world a better place.